In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we remember one of the great martyrs and one of the very earliest of the defenders of the Christian faith called Justin. Justin Martyr, we call him. Or sometimes Justin the Philosopher. For he was a professional philosopher, a wandering teacher of philosophy that Justin was when he turned to what he became convinced was the true philosophy. And that true philosophy, he would say, is Christ. Christ himself is the true philosophy. Or rather, we might say more accurately, the love of Christ is philosophy. Because the word philosophy simply means the love of wisdom. And Jesus, the Christ, he became convinced, he himself is wisdom. Which makes us all philosophers, in an Old Testament sense, at least. If you remember the studies that we've made of the Old Testament, with Father Paul Tarazi's introduction to the Old Testament, when he talks about the wisdom books, he makes the point that where the Greeks, in their way of thinking, tried to accomplish a system of human knowledge that would account for everything, when they did that, Father Paul says, they left behind an ancient tradition of human wisdom, where all cultures and societies have sought to understand the real meaning of things. And in that most important sense, Jesus, the Christ, Justin would say, is the answer to all of the questions of the philosophers. What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is Christ himself. What does it mean to be a human being? The meaning of being a human being is to be at one with God by being faithful to Christ, the one who is fully God and at the same time fully a human being. What all of us need to be. And we can be full human beings only by way of Christ. Justin was trained as a philosopher from an early age. He had gone to schools, the great schools of philosophy in Alexandria, in Egypt, and also in Ephesus, in Asia Minor. And it was in Asia Minor, after he had studied and sampled the great philosophies of the ancient world, especially Stoicism, Pythagoreanism, Platonism, and from each one he took something that pointed him toward the truth of the Christian way of life that is Christ himself. He writes in his book, famous Dialogue with Trypho. Trypho, we think, is the name of a great rabbi with whom Justin had a famous conversation. A rabbi so significant in the life of the Jewish people of the Eastern Mediterranean that you can find his name as Tryphon in the Talmud, a great rabbi. Justin had this famous dialogue with him, and the dialogue is named after the rabbi. Justin explains that he converted to Christianity partly because of the degree to which the Christians in their way of life impressed him. Justin's love of wisdom couldn't be separated from his desire to live life in a wise kind of way, as all of us ought to prefer the path of life, the path of wisdom, the path of loving God and being faithful to Christ, rather than being foolish and following the path of our desires that leads to death, the true philosophy. Justin was impressed by the way of life of the Christians. First of all, the Christians themselves were witnesses to the truth of their way of life. They lived in a way that fit with the best of what it means to be a human being. And Justin was impressed. And also, they had no fear of death. No fear of death. Not just no fear of death when they faced possible martyrdom, as we saw with the example of the Samaritan woman last week. And it's interesting to note, Justin, in his writings, identifies himself as a Samaritan. We think that his father was either Greek or Roman, but his mother was from that same part of the world, Samaria. No fear of death, not just when confronted with possible martyrdom, but to be a Christian is to have no fear of death in any of the ways that death presents itself. The constant anxiety that we live with, the fear of this happening or that happening, or things not turning out well. If we have no fear of death, we will have no fear of any of those things. Because each one of those things is a particular instance of the presence of death in the world threatening us, making us question whether or not we ought not to take some kind of plan that makes the way of the world central and, in effect, abandon faithfulness to Christ. But the true Christian is one who does not do that. And when we come to repent of not having lived our lives according to Christ, one of the things that we repent of is the fear of death in any one of those millions of forms that it presents itself to us in and causes us anxiety. And Justin, when he saw the way of life of the Christians, saw a people who lived fearlessly. Not just when they were confronted by martyrdom, but fearlessly in their daily lives. Death has been overcome. We have a tendency to make a division between our ordinary practical life, where we follow the foolish wisdom of the world, and on the other hand, our Christian faith, which we have high regard for, but think of as being almost too high for this world. That would not have been Justin's way of understanding. According to what he saw in the lives of Christians, the Christian way of life is a practical way of life because it strips you of all of the fear of bad consequences if we do the right thing and live in faithfulness to Christ. And finally, there came the day when, having seen Christians and their way of life, he discussed the Christian faith with someone he calls an old man. Now, I remember when I first read the dialogue with Trypho, I had difficulty separating the old man on the seashore that Justin traveled with and discussed the Christian faith from the person whose name is given to the dialogue, Trypho, the rabbi. But they are two different people. If you read the dialogue, you have to remember that. And this old man was an old Christian. Some are not sure that there actually was in Justin's biography a specific old man. It may be that Justin was writing a dialogue like one of the dialogues of Plato, where characters play the roles of different sides of an argument. It's interesting that Justin, after all, was born just about the time that St. John died, St. John the Evangelist. And the memory of St. John was fresh in Ephesus. He had lived there for many years with the Theotokos before he went to that island where he wrote his gospel and the book of Revelation after she had fallen asleep in the Lord. And so the memory of St. John the Evangelist, so powerful in Ephesus, may very well be the old man that Justin, in his mind, dialogued with there on the seashore. And he records his meditations in conversation with this old man. And he becomes convinced that Christ is the answer to all of the questions of the philosophers. Justin goes on to found a very popular school in the city of Rome, where he converts many to the Christian faith. And then one day a famous cynical philosopher — the Cynics are a particular ancient school of philosophy. Now the word cynic has a particular meaning today. It's not exactly the same as the meaning that it had at that ancient time. We think of a cynic as someone who is very, suspicious of others and the motives of people, that sort of thing. The philosophers, the Cynics, were highly moral and ethical philosophers, very rigorous in their logic, but not quick to accept claims of the sort that Justin would have made. Now, you remember when we were studying the books of wisdom of the Old Testament, this wisdom is a wisdom about the living of life. And those books of the Old Testament, along with the prophets, are what, when people read them, wrote them in the first place, were part of the prophesying of the coming of the Messiah, the one who would fulfill all that needed to be fulfilled. The law of Moses could not be followed in actuality. You could keep the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law escaped the capacity of human beings to live accordance with the teaching and the will and the law and the pattern of life that God had laid down. And the prophets pointed that out to people. And the wisdom books emphasized that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the longing developed for living a way of life that was at one with God. And that hope is fulfilled by the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. It is only by way of Him that we can fulfill our longing to live as true and real human beings at one with God. And so this, of course, was Justin's teaching. The wisdom that he loved was the wisdom of those prophets and wise writers of the Old Testament, not the wisdom of the Greeks. But his claim was that this wisdom that had come out of Israel, this wisdom that had been born and died on the cross and arose from the dead and given human beings the capacity to live at one with God through Him and in the Holy Spirit, this was the true way of living by loving what is good and wise and noble and true. This is the true way of life. This is the fulfillment of the law of what it means to be a human being, Justin would explain. And he claimed that against Trypho, the famous rabbi, the law of Moses was a temporary law, and that that temporary law was now fulfilled by something that was already there in the Old Testament, already there in the life of the world, whether you were a Jew or whether you were a Greek or whether you were one of the barbarians. Justin claimed specifically that the truth of Christ had always been in the world, even before Christ was born in the world. The birth of Christ in the world, according to Justin, is not a new truth. It is the fulfillment of a truth that runs throughout all of creation, that the Greeks had always searched for the fulfillment of in their philosophies, just like the Jews were hoping for a time when the Messiah would come and fulfill the promise of living according to the law of God. And now, Justin said, from now on, from the time of Christ's destruction of the power of death and sending of the Holy Spirit so that we can live at one with God through Christ by being faithful to Him and living in the Holy Spirit, the law of Christian life is revealed as the universal law for all mankind. It applies to all of us because it fulfills the humanity of every human being. And Justin was so convincing in his argument against this famous cynic philosopher. Well, this man evidently had some pull in the Rome at that time and brought charges against Justin. Lost the argument, and so he resorted to governmental authority. And Justin was arrested, and as a Roman citizen, as had been the case with St. Paul, Justin was beheaded about 165 A.D. Even after his death, his writings inspired the Christians. They showed that the Christian way of life is the fulfillment of a practical human way of life. It's not just some kind of crazy idealism or fanaticism. It is the fulfillment of all of our needs and desires to live a life that makes sense and holds together, where we are not threatened by the presence of death in our lives. We are free to live those lives. And the letters that Justin had written to the emperors, including the great Stoic emperor, Marcus Aurelius, they too ended up making a difference. Sometimes we don't hear about that part. But if you read those letters to the emperors, in the back of the letter, they kept a document that was written by a later emperor, the Emperor Hadrian, famous for building that wall, you know, between the Scots and the rest of Great Britain. And in that letter, Hadrian took action in response to the argument that Justin had made in his letters to the emperors, where he said, Christians ought not to be simply arrested because they are Christians. You don't arrest philosophers just because they're philosophers. Why should you arrest someone just because they think in a certain kind of way? There has to be a specific charge if you're going to punish someone, imprison them, put them to death. And Justin was appealing directly to the sense of Roman law. And Hadrian agreed, and he wrote a letter to the prefect of Asia, which is where Ephesus was. And he said that in the future, when someone is arrested for a charge, if he or she is a Christian, there must be some other charge in addition, and you can't just charge them with being a Christian. And you have to have proof that they've done whatever it is. And if anyone breaks this edict that Hadrian wrote, they will be punished. And so, amazingly, already the defense of Christianity, the Justin martyr, made a practical case for the Christian faith. Now, what does this mean to us today? Today, as we've said, we have a tendency to divide our life up. It gives us the kind of freedom that the Pharisees had. On the one hand, there is our practical life, and we live that pretty much the way the rest of Americans live their lives. And on the other hand, there is our Christian faith. And it's very personal, and it's very deep, and it's very sincere. But for the most part, while it inspires us, we keep it for Sundays. We don't think of it as the source of a practical strength that informs our way of life in the world. And Justin stands against that idea. Remember that he was first inspired by the high example of Christians living a fearless life in what was a very terrible world, very difficult world to live in, just as much so as is our own. And so we ought to, when we think of Justin Martyr, think of the practical aspect of the love of the wisdom that is Christ. His conviction that Christ is a practical wisdom to inform our way of life. And we can, by approaching it the way he does, get rid of a lot of this funny idea that we have that we are called to follow some kind of high moral standard that is beyond us and is not practical, and then when we fall short, we should be forgiven because, after all, you know, we're only human and the world is the way it is. That is not a Christian understanding of the world. So in our Christian way of life, let's try to live the way the Christians lived, that Justin saw and was inspired by. And that way of life, to live it, it begins with an end to the fear of death in all of its forms as they dissuade us from living a Christian life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.